Pancho Sanchez, the great conguero, starts us off on this number called Afro-Cuban Fantasy, along with David Torres on piano, Scott Martin on sax, Sal Graciolo on trumpet, and elsewhere on the album, it's not on this particular selection that I'm playing now, is Diane Reeves, who lends her dulcet tones. This was recorded in 1998. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we start off with a little bit of drama today. What is the drama? Well, it's in that case of Derek Chauvin. And, you know, it's usually when it gets to this point in a case that you find some lawyers pulling or trying to pull some tricks. And this was no exception. Lawyers for Derek Chauvin, who, by the way, said he was not going, he told the court, I'm not testifying. I affirm my Fifth Amendment rights, and he has the right to do so, and I will not be testifying. Okay, so the court said, okay. I mean, all right, that's what you want. But Chauvin's lawyers told the judge, something has just come up, Your Honor. We have some information. It's late, we know, but we just learned of it, and we want to insert it in the trial, and we want to fashion a debate about it because it would be helpful in Derek Chauvin's defense. And that is that they have an answer. They have an explanation, more to the point, as to why George Floyd's blood oxygen level was so low. And it had nothing to do with Derek Chauvin. It had to do with where his head was at the time that the officers reached him and were about to arrest him. The discovery was that George Floyd's head was close to the muffler of the car, of the vehicle, I should say, he was driving at the time. So all those exhaust fumes coming out of that vehicle went into George Floyd. It had nothing to do with sometimes you just have to control yourself. You want to laugh, but you can't because it's so serious. But that was what explained the lack of oxygen in George Floyd's blood. And so they wanted to introduce that. We know, Your Honor, it's late in the day, but we just got this. This just came into our hands. We had no information about this. We had no facts, no figures, nothing until literally just now. And we want to put it into evidence and argue about it. So the judge said, any mention of this blood oxygen business will cause me to declare a mistrial immediately. That was the end of that. This is an old trick. It's an old trick. Your Honor, it's like in those old Hollywood movies, Hold it. You know, we have something late coming in. And this is what they tried. I mean, this is so pathetic. This is so pathetic. Obviously, it occurred to Derek Chauvin's defense team that he's in trouble. And anything at all to keep this case going, any manufacturing at all of new evidence will help. And they came up with this. And the judge said, if you even mention it, if any of your witnesses mention it, immediately I declare a mistrial. And nobody mentioned it, which means they understood that whatever trouble they were in would pale in comparison to the trouble they will be in if they mentioned this late breaking story to the court. So that's the end of that. That was a little bit of drama today. So Chauvin decides he's not going to testify. He is an American after all, and entitled to the Fifth Amendment protections and not to incriminate himself. So that's what he did. He announced it today. So as you can tell, nobody here, not me, I'm not surprised. I told you he wasn't going to testify. He was just not going to testify. And so the court will adjourn today and will not reconvene again until Monday. And on Monday, the court will hear summations, which means the case is just about over. We wouldn't have to go through much more of this. And you will hear how they sum up their respective cases, and then it goes to the jury. And that would be the end of the Derek Chauvin case. All right, so much for that. Okay. I want to talk about a couple of other developments and see, bounce them off of you, see what you think. And the first thing I wanted to talk about was this late development. In fact, before we get to that, since we are segueing, I wanted to talk about police officer Kim Potter, who has resigned, as you know, after the killing, after she killed Dante Wright, thinking she was, at least this is her explanation, thinking she was retrieving a taser gun as opposed to a real gun in order to confront Wright about the suspicious nature of what she had observed. And what she had observed was a car in violation of the law. What was the violation? He supposedly had those air fresheners. He supposedly had some air fresheners dangling from his rearview mirror. That is a major, that is international crime right there. That's a major infraction all over the world. And so she was compelled, because she was in the area where Dante Wright was driving and ordered him to stop, was about to commence a search of the vehicle and an interview of him, and saw these air fresheners. It's a major cause of rampant crime. And so she was about to retrieve her taser, because that is the response. That's a typical response. You don't engage in conversation with anybody. First of all, it's beyond stupid that of all the things that you have to monitor on the road, you're thinking that dangling air fresheners or air fresheners dangling from the rearview mirror would constitute a major, a national crime. And you must stamp it out immediately. So there you are. So she now is basically facing charges. And the community is really up in arms, not just in this town called Brooklyn Center, just outside of Minneapolis. I don't know what it is with Minneapolis lately. And she is there as the stand-in for law and order in that part of the world. So the community is rallying and people are getting nervous. But so far, the protests have been very orderly and peaceful. And it turns out, at least I read somewhere today, that Dante Wright is a relative of, I can't remember her name. I wrote it down. But the wife of, oh, please, somebody help me. I know you will. I wrote it down. And I just can't find it at the moment. You should see what my notebook looks like. The man who was killed by cops in New York City for selling loose cigarettes in Staten Island. But anyway, this is what is going on. And the concern, there's overwhelming concern about Kim Potter because, well, she's a white woman cop. This is a major departure from the norm. White womanhood is in trouble, even more so than white manhood with regard to Derek Chauvin. So it's getting a little dicey. How to protect her? How to support her? Nobody's concerned at from this group that is so concerned about Kim Potter. We're not seeing an expression of concern from police organizations about the interplay between Dante Wright and Kim Potter. Why was it necessary to confront a young man, a motorist, about something as trivial and plain stupid as having air fresheners in his car? Okay, so somebody wrote a long law, I imagine, and thought that this was a brilliant stroke to keep law and order on the highways and byways. But in the end, it's stupid and unnecessary. And here we have a supposedly experienced cop. Kim Potter has been on the force for a long time, almost 20 years. And even though she was fishing for her taser, supposedly, you can't tell the difference between a taser and your sidearm. You can't tell that. And you are in a position where you can make literally life and death decisions. Okay, so the department requires you to confront these errant drivers committing these outrageous crimes of having air fresheners dangling from their rearview mirrors. because, you know, it's a national emergency. Okay. But you can't tell the difference between your taser and your sidearm, your gun. You can't tell the difference. Oh, Lord. So she has quit, and there have been other resignations as well, and you could only read it that they quit in solidarity with her. That's the chief of police also quit. He tendered his resignation. I thought that they would both quit because this young man, 20 years old, should not have been killed. That killing him was so outrageous, they couldn't live with themselves. But no, it appears that the police chief has quit, kind of in support, because, you know, it's a white woman who has done this dastardly deed. And it is incumbent to step forward and surround her with your love. A whole different attitude. What? Dante who? Nobody's worried about him. He's dead. And he deserved to be dead because he had the temerity, the utter gall to have air fresheners in his car. He didn't even deserve to be talked to. Right there, two entirely different applications of, dare I use the word, justice. Well, my next item I wanted to bring to your attention is a vote in the House yesterday, 25-19, to approve statehood for Washington, D.C. Well, they've talked about this a lot. It is, after all, the nation's capital. This might just hasten. It might just hasten the building of a new capital. What? All those black people there? And you're going to make it a state? Oh, no, we can't have this. So we'll see. By the way, not a single Republican, not one, voted to approve this bill. They're saying, next thing you know, they put up a statue of Adam Clayton Powell. This is not going to well. I wanted to know what you thought of the so-called, what they're calling it, a pause in the manufacturing of vaccines, especially by Johnson & Johnson. Now they may have second thoughts about people saying, I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that vaccine. I'll wait and see. Now, the Centers for Disease Control is waiting to see. Dr. Fauci is waiting to see the wisdom of that decision. Some people who had taken the vaccine were found to have mysterious but dangerous blood clots in their system, including one woman who died. And Johnson & Johnson is now undertaking an investigation to find out what is going on. What happened there? Is the vaccine faulty? Is this something they didn't expect to happen at all? So I'm asking, since we have people who have died, people who've come down with these mysterious blood clots, what legally is the best remedy at this time? What do you think should happen to Johnson & Johnson and its ability to continue manufacturing these vaccines? And what do you think of people's attitudes now toward this whole vaccine issue? Not certain that it's ready to go to market. Is it possible that the production of vaccines is a matter of different companies trying to hurry up and produce more and more and more, even if they don't quite know all they need to know about the possible downsides to their vaccines? Are they trying to basically get to the tape first so that they could make the most money? Is that a factor, you think, in this? And one more thing I wanted to talk to you about. Where are my notes? I have this notebook and I write all, it's my lack of discipline. I write all over the place. And I have to go searching every time to find out what it is. But enough is on the table right now. As we take this break, you can call in and pick the subject that you like and wax philosophic about it at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. We'll take this break and come right back to your thoughts. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we have a couple of things in play, and you can select whichever subject attracts you the most at 888-874-4888. Ed from Queens, you start us off today.
Hey, good afternoon, Eutrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed, good afternoon to you, too.
Yeah, we're here. I believe the name you were searching for was Eric Garner, and Esau Garner is his wife.
Yes.
That's the name. Esau Garner was his wife, yeah. That's the name you were searching for.
That was the name I was looking for.
As far as the vaccinations, I mean, I saw this coming. Johnson's and Johnson's specifically is a company that is involved in multiple lawsuits, everything from talcum powder to birth control applications, IUDs, to different statin drugs that they produce. They're a large company. They're into a lot. They got their fingers in a lot of pies. And this vaccination thing is just another money grab for them. And I'm telling you, we don't know what's coming down the road. Was this Moderna? Was this RNA? Was this messenger RNA technology, which wrongfully is being called a vaccine, which is really a gene therapy? 5 or 10 years down the road, we could see horrific results from this. And what nobody is saying is that none of these vaccines guarantee that you won't get infected with COVID. People I know that have taken a shot have gotten infected again with COVID. The rise of these variants, now they're talking about booster shots. There's been talk that this is going to be a seasonally thing, like a flu shot. So I don't know what's behind this. I've got my own theories. I've done my own research. I just tell people, stay aware, take a lot of vitamin D, try to exercise, and me personally, I'm not taking a shot. And I'm trying to find every way to
resist. You're not taking the shot.
I'm not taking any shot. I'm trying to find every way to resist it. I've looked in legal ways. I've looked at as far as claiming my religion to be a Christian scientist. I mean, trying to talk to different doctors that I know to get to some type of waiver, because I'm not taking this shot. I think that the trials and tribulations with this are going to be great. There's going to be a lot of suppression. There's already a lot of suppression in the mainstream media as to the adverse side effects. I think they had to cop to this because it's bigger than they say it is. They're talking about 1 in 1 million, but yet there's still 6 women here. There were 14 women in Europe. I mean, the reporting on this cannot be trusted. And the motivation behind this, my opinion, primarily monetary. And whatever diabolical ideas or machinations are behind it, I can't say, but I'm not taking it.
So should a moratorium be declared against manufacturing of all vaccines, or should new criteria be established? What do you suggest?
Well, first of all, let's drop this emergency order protection. If you take a vaccine, you should be able to sue the manufacturers if you encounter some adverse effects that were not clearly identified by the manufacturer of the vaccine. Experts have said, Dr. Peter Brennan is one expert. He said all vaccines imply some type of safety risk. So let's be real. Okay, thank you for producing it. But if I get sick, I want there to be some legal ramifications or legal recompense that I can gain from it. Number one. Number two, Johnson & Johnson shouldn't be producing anything. As I stated before, they are involved in like 17 different lawsuits with defective product or lack of concern for the general public. Why are they allowed to produce anything? They should be completely out of the game from the jump street. And Moderna and Pfizer, this stuff is new technology. I know they've used it since the AIDS crisis, but you got to remember, a lot of this stuff was shells because it was killing people in the 80s coming off of the shelves. I had a friend that died from this AZT stuff. His name was Solomon. He was a 250-pound, six foot two man. Started taking the AZT stuff, and he wasted away in a matter of weeks to 180 pounds in a deathbed in Jamaica Hospital. So I know the results of these gene drugs, and these things were shelved. They were cancer treatments, and they were shelved because of their toxicity. And now they're bringing them out again, waving them around like some victory has been made. This gain of function and this gene splicing garbage has been going on since the 1980s, because they've been trying to use the messenger RNA to affect the HIV virus. So all of this stuff ties in, and Fauci is neck deep in this garbage too. So, and there's a lot of money going around, and there's no accountability.
You got us started, that's for sure. I'm sure it will resonate with the callers that we hear from today. Thanks so much. From Manhattan, Patricia, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. So,
good afternoon.
I think you know my position on the vaccine, but what I want to do is just kind of refresh your memory. Remember a few weeks ago, I shared an interchange that I had with my eye doctor who challenged me about this vaccine, this injection, because I refused to classify it as a vaccine. What they're now beginning to talk about now, you will begin to hear about what's called vaccine breakthroughs. So what is a vaccine breakthrough? Vaccine breakthrough is someone who has been quote-unquote vaccinated who gets COVID, which leads me back to my original statement months ago that this injection does not meet the legal or medical definition of a vaccine, because someone who has been vaccinated will never get the disease for which they are being vaccinated. Again, this will only minimize the symptoms, and by minimizing the symptoms, minimize your risk of hospitalization. Again, so but what's happening now, you ask Ed whether whether he thought that this would be recalled. There's too much money already in this. That's not going to happen. Not only is there is too much money worldwide, especially now as they are beginning to roll out these vaccine passports, which will as people don't realize, it's not as innocuous as people think, because they will now be able, and please do not think that I'm an alarmist. I am not an alarmist. But I've been reading that they will now be able to connect your vaccine, your injection information will be uploaded into a database that will be able to connect to your medical history, your financial history, every critical aspect of your life. Do I want that? Absolutely not. Are people aware of this? Absolutely not. Because the discussion that should have taken place, anytime you have a discussion, there's pros and cons, risks and benefit. That discussion never took place. The individual such as myself, which is what I always said, were I still in clinical practice, I would be the lone voice and I would be shunned and ostracized as a clinician, because I would not adopt the party line to just give me your arm and take your jab.
It's a very serious situation we're in. It's all the more serious because these discussions are not being held in Congress. Nobody's interested in looking a little bit deeper into this. Carrying through with an investigation, a full-fledged investigation. We're still hearing, according to Dr. Fauci, he's just calling for a pause. It's not a ban. He's calling for a pause. So it means they have no intention of withdrawing the whole idea of these vaccinations at all.
Too much money involved. Too much money already expended. Not going to happen. And again, when you hear people, the politicians are at the mercy of the people who are giving them the information. They're not, although they should be doing their own independent reading. So they are accepting as truth what they are being told. And they are then transmitting that information to their constituents. And every time I hear all of these individuals, faith-based leaders, everybody saying about it, keep in mind, these injections are being given under what's called the emergency use authorization. The trials are still in progress. People don't realize that. The trials are still in progress as we speak. And all of the information that they are now gleaning from the individuals who have already taken this injection. And most of the deaths that have occurred have not been reported as connected to the injection. So they are underreporting the deaths that have occurred.
Wow. Very sobering facts and details that you're sharing with us here today, Patricia. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sonia from the Bronx, you're on the air.
I was listening to all these previous callers. I mean, we have to do our research. If you look at the cdc.gov website, the reported deaths for 2020 were number one, heart disease, number two, cancer, number three, COVID. So it tells you right there what's really going on in terms of the health of our country. And if you also look at the CDC website, it tells you, it gives you a summary of what the Pfizer vaccine is supposed to do. It clearly states that the studies for hospitalized COVID outcomes were minimal. It just states that the vaccine is designed to prevent hospitalization. It says it right there. Go to the website. We're responsible for making our own decisions. The information is available. If we don't look at it, it's on us. The government is not putting a gun to our head and saying, now you must take the vaccine, at least not yet. So we have the opportunity to educate ourselves, to share information. and to make our own informed decisions. And as far as the police are concerned, most police officers are being treated as tax collectors. They are responsible for generating revenue for the local governments by issuing tickets. I know this for a fact. I have family from who retired from NYPD. They were on quotas to issue tickets. And so these stops that are occurring that lead to death is the culmination of tax collecting and racism colliding. And it has to stop. We don't need police officers to collect taxes on behalf of these localities. That has to stop completely. That's why we have yearly inspections of our vehicles and registration and all of that. Police officers have to be removed from these functions. And that will cut back on a lot of these confrontations, these deadly, deadly confrontations. But they are under mandate to make these stops.
I want to go back to where you started, saying that the information about the viruses, not the viruses, the vaccines, everything is there. How could an ordinary person make sense of very sophisticated materials like that and come to a correct conclusion for that person?
We can ask our doctors, where is the evidence that this stops the virus? We have to make our healthcare professionals accountable. We have to confront them. I always ask, whenever I'm given a medication, how long has this been on the market? What are the side effects? In my age, in my generation, the FDA used to test each drug 10 years before releasing it onto the market. 10 full years of testing by the FDA. That stopped a long time ago. But we ourselves can protect ourselves by asking information. Go with the information. Ask for your doctor to explain it to you. It's just a PDF, 1-2 pages. Please explain to me what this study says. Does this study say that I will not get COVID if I take the vaccine? Of course they have to say no, because the studies do not say that. They're not misrepresenting the vaccines. We are choosing to misinterpret their representation. That's on us. Like, we have to put on our thinking caps and take responsibility, because we are responsible. It is up to us to protect ourselves and to protect each other. And that's what's going on here. Yes?
No, I said thank you for calling in and contributing today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for all your wonderful work, Utrice.
Thank you. Mitch from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was listening to the trial, and they were talking about the oxygen level that was Mr. Floyd was getting from the tailpipe. One question that the prosecutor didn't ask, well, why was he getting this oxygen from the tailpipe? He was getting it from this Mr. Sobit standing on his neck with his knee, and he couldn't move, so he had no choice but to breathe this, and this contributed to his death, if they're saying that the carbon dioxide was part of it.
Well, you see, the judge had already made a decision that this issue, this entire issue, was not to be raised. It came in late after the bulk of evidence was presented, and the judge even threatened, as I said at the beginning, to declare a mistrial if anybody should get too detailed about this, because this was not brought to the full court. And they were trying, this is my interpretation, because this happens quite a lot, they were trying to kind of wedge it in just before the trial ended and raise a question about the, raise this particular question in order to excuse or to add one more supporting piece of material to say that it wasn't Chauvin pressing on George Floyd's neck that caused the level of oxygen to go down. It was the tailpipe from the vehicle he was driving.
Yeah, but he was breathing because this silver was on his neck. He should have asked that when he first brought that up, when he was recrossing the gentleman that was on the stand then.
I think the judge read the tactic correctly, that this was just another way to divert attention and to bring in new information at the very tail end to try and turn this case around so that Chauvin is let off the hook. But he did say, this is the judge now, he said, you bring this up at any time and intend to discuss it in any detail, I declare a mistrial. And they all kind of read it as a very serious warning.
Yeah. And I think this lady Potter, who shot this young man, she resigned, yes, so she could get a pension, probably. Because if she had got fired, she wouldn't get a pension, probably. Yes.
Well, the thing is, even if she resigned, she resigned as a person who committed, according to the law, she shot someone to death. So it's not guaranteed that even so, if she thought she was going to be smart enough, that she would have gotten over that hump. No.
Okay. Thank you then. Thank you for the conversation.
Thank you so much for calling. G from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Hello, how you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Oh, you sound okay. You sound a little more up, you know. Okay. I really hope you're doing well, because what you're doing,
thank you,
is really
I'm hanging
important.
In.
Good. The vaccine situation, I'm trying to follow it. Because, you know, anytime you take, when the public or the public authorities say, take this vaccine, and they're not really straight factual, and they're giving you different ways of saying why you should take it. I noticed this time, especially, they're not saying it definitely will prevent you from getting COVID. They're not saying it quite as strongly, especially when you read about it in the CDC website. They don't say it like that. They say it may help prevent you from getting, you know, that's iffy, wishy-washy language. And I noticed that this time,
it's very, very concise and very precise language given by the law department.
Okay, but it's not they don't definitely say that you won't get it, like in other vaccine situations where they said you take this vaccine, you won't get it. So I'm looking at it as this is something that they've kind of rushed. They did not do the year and studies, 2 years, 3 years. And they're going to say, well, we didn't have time because of the pandemic. But people ought to be concerned. Everyone has to research and do their own due diligence. But we ought to be concerned about taking in something into our bodies that we've never heard of. There are not many people who've heard of RNA vaccines and all this. The medical people have said, oh, we've used it before. Well, Have they told us this before? Did they really make it clear? I mean, in the public, you got to say things over and over to really make it clear, and they haven't really done that. This is new for us. This is not a guarantee that it will keep you from getting COVID, as some of the other callers have said. People have taken the shots and come down with COVID. That shouldn't happen. And when you look at Pfizer and you look at Johnson & Johnson, yeah, they have had lawsuits. They've had to do payouts because of the damaging products that they've made, and vaccines are another product. I'm not saying don't get it, don't get the vaccine. I think it's the people should really check it out and really also check out what their health is, because you wouldn't want to take this shot and then find out later that you might be in a category where you shouldn't have taken it because you have something that could react. We really got to be careful with our bodies these days. And really,
I have to be careful about one of the things that governments are very good at, and that is propaganda.
Yes, ma'am.
They have the wherewithal to sway minds by the millions.
Yep.
We have enough evidence of the effectiveness of propaganda. So people believe what the government says. The government says this is safe, then it is safe. So then they go join the long line waiting to be inoculated. But of course, the government in turn is saying, well, it's a pandemic, so let's use that. Under the guise of a pandemic, we can do a lot of things that we normally would not be allowed by law to do.
That's right.
We could get away with a lot of things now.
Because if people are dying and there's a VAERS, a vaccine adverse reactions website or part of the website where people could say what happened to them, whether it's short-term side effects or whether it's, you know, something that happened later on. And I understand that there's only 1% that report to that. And that part of the story isn't reported enough, that there is such a website where people can report what's happening. You know, we're being led around like sheep with these things. And we don't know what's the effect of all the other vaccines that we've taken, which is supposed to be lifelong presence in our bodies, and in addition to taking this one. And again, these vaccine companies have no liability if they hurt us. There's a law from 1986 that's still on the books that if you vaccine, you can't sue them. So if this is so safe and effective and it's so good for us, then why is that law there? Is it because they're approaching this with that, no liability, because they have to admit in some form or fashion that this is rushed and they didn't get to do all the due diligence? We really have to look at this very carefully, because we don't want to end up saying to ourselves, well, this pandemic led me to take something that I didn't really know about, that they didn't really tell me about, that, yeah, it was, you know, we got press releases on, and now I got something that I don't even know about, and, you know, I'm just out here. And now I got an added problem. We don't, short-term or long-term, we don't want to be in that position.
No, we don't.
And the healthcare is not the top thing in this country as it is. That's all I've got
to say. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for calling in and contributing. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Stay up. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Eve from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Good afternoon, E. How are you doing? What are your thoughts today on?
Yeah, you brought up this fact that the judge says, if you bring up this point about the carbon monoxide poisoning, we're going to call a mistrial. So then what would happen if that would be the case? If they bring it up and he declares it a mistrial, then what?
Well, what do you think? That's an interesting question. What if they bring it up purposely to get a mistrial?
Right. And what do I think? I see, that's why I was asking you, because I thought, You possibly know more about a mistrial than I would, because you've been involved in many cases of, you know, police doing things. So
if they do this and the judge feels that he is compelled to follow through with his version of a threat, which is I'll declare a mistrial, well, the only other option is to start from scratch.
So then that would benefit the Chauvin, wouldn't it?
It might very well benefit him, because the very reason for, you know, getting this new fact that the judge says isn't really impressive, it's not a fact at all, but you suddenly get this information at the very last minute, and you want me to hold up the entire trial and test this point in court. No. I don't believe that you just got it. And in any event, even if you just got this information, I am not inclined to give you free rein to rearrange everybody's schedule, the schedule of the court, all the lawyers and so forth. I'm not about to do that. You had ample time to raise a question, and the lawyers are contending, the lawyers for Chauvin are contending that they just got it, literally, last night. They just got it. This is an old, tired trick.
I'm sorry to interrupt. There is a run out of time. I understand that point that the judge is trying, but why did he have to say mistrial? Why couldn't he just say that's not going to be allowed to be brought into this case because it's just a bunch of hogwash? Because when he says mistrial, that makes me wonder, is this a plan here? Because that'll give them more time to come up with some more things.
But if he said it in a different way, even if he said it in a different way, it would be tantamount to the same thing. It would be a mistrial.
But what happens exactly when there's a mistrial? They start all over again from scratch? It just doesn't make no sense. You know what I'm saying, Nutrice?
Yeah, I know, but this is what happens. When you declare a mistrial, the option is to either go at it again from scratch or forget about it and walk away and just deal with the consequences existing at that time.
Okay. It seems kind of like unclear, like it's not... Nobody really knows what could then occur. If he does declare it a mistrial, then he has to get new lawyers and all this other stuff. I don't recall.
Declaring a mistrial in this sense is a way that the court exercises some punitive power by saying, I will make you start from scratch all over again.
Right, but if they want that to happen, then that's good for them, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but nobody wants that to happen. I mean, I doubt anybody really wants that to happen. That's a lot of money. Don't forget that the group that is backing Chauvin committed to more than $1 million just for the lawyers. Nobody wants to go through that again.
All right. I was just concerned because, you know, I don't like things to get like crazy, like we're being manipulated into this other thing now because of this thing they came up with. It don't make any sense. Yeah, if carbon monoxide is so bad, then why do we have it 24/7 all over the world for everybody to breathe in? Because they want to kill us? What's really going on here? And this is why I'm upset.
No, what's all over the world is carbon dioxide, not carbon monoxide. Monoxide is very dangerous. It's not all over the world.
That's what comes out of the car exhaust, carbon monoxide.
Yeah, and that's why you have such stringent laws about exhaust and cars being tested and being screened and so forth because of carbon monoxide. That's what started this whole thing.
Right. And if you go into your garage and you start your car up and you stay in there for 10 minutes, you're dead. And that's why it shouldn't have ever existed, just so we could get around faster, is what I'm saying.
Oh my gosh. You realize how many points you made today?
Yeah.
And you tried to knit them together, but not quite.
Well, but tomorrow's Free Your Mind Friday, and I was going to save some things for that if I can get on. So I just wanted to know about this mistrial.
Take a chance. Take a shot and see what happens.
All right, dear.
Thanks a lot.
I thank you.
Thank you
for the forum and everybody.
I
love you all.
Okay. And that brings us to the end of our program today. Tomorrow, as E just said, is Free Your Mind Friday. The forum is yours. You talk about whatever it is you think is important to talk about from your perspective. It doesn't matter whether you are so-called right or so-called wrong. It matters only that you have a strong opinion that you would like to share. Until then, thanks for listening.